But as we allow God to fill our lives, help us overcome those areas, through His wisdom, our lives become transformed. When we understand, that's when we can overcome. Do you realize that every weakness in your life, every bondage that has gripped your life, every sinful habit that has gripped your life, came slowly through the times in your life, and there is always a root inside you? Sometimes you try to go for a shortcut and get a man of God to hear from you, but no one hears it like you yourself. No one hears it like you yourself. When God begins to reveal His wisdom in your life and show you the root of it, that's when you become a different man or woman. You change when you see the root. Some of you struggle with a bad temper, and you always say, God, take away this temper. But have you asked God to give you wisdom to understand that temper of yours? How it came? Why is it there? Perhaps some of you struggle with depression in your life until it's like a living shadow that follows you 24 hours. You ask God for deliverance, prayed for by many, but have you asked God for His wisdom that will show you how, when it has got in? Perhaps it could be a childhood incident or whatever that God can help you through. And God can show you. And once you see it, that's it. Every problem in our life is a problem of a lack of revelation. When the revelation comes, half of the problem is solved. The other half is to act on it. Many other good things in chapter 1 of James, but we better go to James chapter 2. On hearing. Hearing. And primarily in chapter 2, it speaks about good works. There's a great emphasis on good works. And here good works is not talking about just acting on our faith. The context of good works here talks about helping those who are in need, helping those who are around us. The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And the Pharisee and the lawyer asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told a parable of the good Samaritan. And say at the end of the story, and say, who has been a neighbor to that man? Obviously the good Samaritan. So the second commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself involves understanding the needs and helping the needs of those around you. Now, we have to be balanced in that area. It doesn't mean you get into debt and you get into another need to help another need. But it's talking about being in the position to help. There is no meaning to life if all we have is earn a living, have a good income, have a good home, have a good house, have a good means of transportation, have a good bank account, and that's all, and a ticket to heaven. The meaning in life only comes when all that we have, we bring it forth as an ability to help other people. There will be a greater sense of meaning that comes in our life. Sadly, for many people, it comes when they are very old. Because most young people are selfish. Not all, but many. Oh, full of ambition, but everything is for self. But there have been some heroes of the faith who from young have caught the vision of giving their lives for others. Living for something bigger than themselves. And not just going after like what every other person goes after. In chapter 2, it says in verse 2 and 3, for should there come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, when you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, You sit here in a good place and say of the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So here he's talking about negligence here. And verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Understand that the works here involve good works, because in chapter 1 verse 27 he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now there have been some people who have gone into good works and welfare work, but don't forget the other part. It also means to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's also part of it. Doing good works, helping the widows, orphans and the needy, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Because a lot of people who go in, if you go into welfare and good works minus the second part, you will end up no different from a natural person. Your fundraising methods and techniques and everything becomes so worldly, is organized on a worldly basis. But it also means that when we do it, we use the principles of the Word. That we follow after the attitudes from the Word. It's not just helping for the sake of helping. But here's an important area in a Christian life. Because the first area, chapter 1, is temptation. Chapter 2 is loving thy neighbor. Or if you want to put it more precisely, helping your neighbor. Every pastor, and it's the responsibility of every leader and every pastor to teach Christians that they must do something for others to grow. You wouldn't grow as a Christian if all you did is learn Genesis to Revelation by heart, learn the Hebrew and the Greek, and learn all your possessions, all your things, practice all the principles and become very blessed and very prosperous, but you have never helped another one. Part of the growth in Christianity is when we begin to discover the joy of helping another one. We can't, by one person, practically do something for 5 billion people, but we can do for one or two or those around us. It is in the teaching of the Bible all the time about helping the poor and doing good works. In the book of Galatians chapter 2, part of the call and responsibility that they gave to the Apostle Paul, when they recognized and accepted his ministry, is in Galatians chapter 2, when they give him the right hand of fellowship and accepted and recognized his ministry, it says in verse 10, they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Then in the book of Acts 11, and there was a prophecy about famine coming in Acts 11. Verse 29 and 30. Then the disciple, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Notice they send help to those who were needy. And one of the first things that we read about that happened in the revival in the book of Acts is how they help those who are around them who have need. In the book of Acts, chapter 4. Whatever each one of them had need, they helped them. Acts 4. Verse 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one, each as anyone had need. Now I realize that every system, you can always have a few funny guys to take advantage of them. There are professionals, professional con Christians who go out playing on the sympathies of Christians, right? Sometimes you even have a con pastor or con preacher and a con the people. And you know a con person straight away, because there's something about them that's insincere, and their objective is different. And do you know that Paul talks about how some people like that too? Yes, he did, in the book of Philippians chapter 1. And those are preachers. Philippians chapter 1. And it really gives a bad name for the rest of us. Philippians chapter 1. It says here, verse 16, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition. I know some preachers do that, do what they do from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. And so there are those who have preached Christ from various reasons, for gain and to add affliction, Paul says, to his chains. And in his writings about in his pastoral epistles, he talks about people who go about teaching the wrong things, and mainly for their own gain. In the book of let's look at some of these examples. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Lovers of money. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, as Paul was saying his farewell message, he gives them a warning in Acts 20 and says in verse 29, For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. It's important for us to understand that part of the dying to self that comes in any Christian life, we are taught to die to self. But dying to self is not just giving up ourselves to the Lord, it involves part of it. The test of dying to self is our ability to give ourselves to others. 1 John tells us, how can we say we love God if we don't love our neighbor? And I put it this way, how can we say we are really given ourselves to God when we haven't really given ourselves to people? The two flows together. Basically, in chapter 2, it talks about good works and charity. And believe me, that is one of the biggest areas God trained us to hear. There have been so many times, in the early days of the ministry, God teaches to hear Him by dealing with the area of what we have in our ability to help others. Sometimes what He speaks to us is like He says, sometimes He impresses and says, do this for this person, give this to this person, and you just do it. And only recently, Lord spoke to me about someone who was expecting a child, and this person was a ministry, living by faith, and Lord says the child is coming this month, and do something. So I did something. So all these things you got to do alone, between you and the Lord, in your prayer time. But the same voice whom you hear and teach you to give, is the same voice who will speak to you and say, go and raise that person from the dead. Go and bring healing to the person in a wheelchair. It's the same voice. And we are trained to hear God's voice through dealing with our finances and our charitable ability. That's where our training is. When we can hear God in that area, God will begin to speak in many other areas to our lives. Same voice. See, why does God deal with our finances so much? Because it's that area where He makes us die to self. And it's that area where He gets our obedience to see whether we are serving God or we are serving mammon. And if you are honest with me,